Welcome to Books, Stories, People with me, Nancy Richards.
Debongs is one of 20 local and international artists who took part in this year's IPAF, International Public Art Festival in Cape Town. It's an annual event where most of the art is painted on the walls of the old, slightly neglected but character-filled district of Salt River. Well, they do say, don't they, that every picture tells a story. And this year, the stories painted on the walls were all on the theme of 100% sustainable. I spoke to founder and organiser, Alexandre Tillmans, to find out a little bit more about the thinking behind the festival. But first, as I strolled the streets to admire the work, I came across Debongs, who'd been painting his wall high up in a mechanised crane, and I asked him to tell me his story.
I'm Debongs. I'm a street artist from Joburg, and we're here at the International Public Art Festival for it's the fifth time now that it's happening, and the theme for this year is sustainability, 100% sustainability. So for this year, I got invited with Viva to do a collaboration on a wall, and Viva is a photographer. So what he did, he came before me because he wanted to document a local story, and what he did, he found a lady whom he could relate to, whom her story drew him to her. And basically, the lady, what she does, that she creates drinks, kombuchas, with her hands, and she has a store. And so we took it at that angle that what would be on the wall, it would be hands and a face. So with the hands, because she creates with her hands, and that's what sustains her, because she creates it and then she goes sells it, and it's all the works of her hands. But at the same time, these are the praying hands. There's beads on the beads, they call the tazrikh, on her wrist, and basically, yeah, that's just to signify how important prayer is and taking care of the physical aspect as well as the inner being, the soul, the spiritual side of things. Because once you healed on the inside, you can able to be exuberant on the outside. So once your inside is clean, you can be able to just show it on the outside. And a face is just basically just to show hope, a sense of just belief and confident assurance that you know that what is coming, although I'm in a dark place right now, it's not going to be like this forever. It's not going to be like, it's just seasons. Sometimes it's just this season to just plant the seed. Sometimes it's a season to harvest. So it always goes like that, that sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but it doesn't mean that during the bad times, you must go with that and believe that it'll be bad all the time. So just basically to leave a sense of hope and faith and trust in the community, to say that even the people who are not feeling good, they can pass by this mural and somewhat they can feel a sense of healing in their souls. We never know what people are going through, and we just hope that this artwork will actually be able to lighten up people's days every day that they see it.
You talk about confidence and assurance, and your work is both confident and assured.
Yeah.
You're working very close up to it in a sort of motorized cradle.
Yeah.
How do you do it? Do you stand back? How do you know that's how those hands need to look when you're so close and they're so huge?
Well, once I get the sketch done, I think it's all the sketch. That's why I take a lot of time on the sketch. Most of the time I take it on the sketch to make sure that the proportions are right, to make sure that it looks right. And then after that, I just really just go with faith. Because the wall is so big. And then at the end of the day, I can't keep on coming back and forth because I'm going to waste time. So once I get the sketch, I believe that is really my map, that and it's going to get me to where it is that I need to get. So then I just go and we have the wind again. So it's a bit challenging, but in a beautiful way that we able to test out new techniques, find new ways of creation, and it's been a beautiful experience.
When did you start? How did you learn? Where did you learn?
I'm self-taught. I started just doing graffiti, writing my name. So that happened from about 2008 up until 2016. 2015, really, because, the other times I wasn't doing anything. And from 2017, so 4 years now I've been painting portraits. So that's when I just picked it up. And from 4 years ago, I've just been really dived in head first to say that I'm going to practice as much as I can and I'm going to get as good at this as I can. So I've just been, everything that I would do, I'd just get paint, I'd just keep on painting over and over. I'd repaint the same piece many times and just keep on getting better. And somewhat jobs came, I could get more equipment, get more resources. And yeah, I'm just grateful for the opportunity to be able to create on a daily basis now.
And you must be grateful for the walls. Where do you find the empty walls to practice on?
Luckily enough, with just creating in the studio, I'm able to have pictures. So when I approach people, I show them what I've done, and somehow they are drawn to it, and they're able to just afford me their walls and just say, yeah, you can do whatever it is that you want to do. So I'm grateful for that, and for the fact that also when I'm creating my free works, there's people who stop by and ask me, and like that, I get a job and make a living out of it. So yeah, I'm just grateful to the people who like my work and see it and want it on their walls. Because sometimes, even in the morning when I was painting, a guy stops like, yo, I have a wall up there. If you want it, you can come. So I'm grateful for that.
You know, today, Salt River, maybe next year, Union Buildings. Do you have an ambition to paint any particular wall?
I'd like to paint the biggest buildings in the world. Yes, I would. But for me, the work that really moves me is the work that I do in townships and in communities like this, because that's where the kids are and they are not really exposed to what is happening out there. And also there's the older generation who are not exposed to it, so they are not able to support the younger ones. So I'd like to get it into communities like this so that the older generation can be able to see it, so that when the kids say they want to do something in a creative field, they could support them because they've been able to see it. They see it on a daily. They see the impact that it makes. They see that it's not something negative as it is usually publicized, but it's something that you can make a life out of and really fulfill your purpose with. So yeah, just communities where people are disadvantaged and they're not able to see beautiful, bright walls every day. That's where I really just love to paint and just somewhat bring a bit of change.
You mentioned that you started off just writing your name, Debongs. Yeah. What does that mean?
With the internship, like, your name is never really on there. So when you have a name, they just put your taste to it. So growing up, my name is Bongani, which means gratitude. So I didn't want to change it so much that I have a different name. So I just took that. So I'm grateful, but in a slang type of way now. So I'm Debongs, but it's a shortcut to saying Bongani. So it's just my name, but just a twist to it.
I am grateful. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Nancy.
I'm Alexander Tillmans. I'm Belgian. I arrived in South Africa in 2007, about 14 years ago. I worked in the tourism industry for 14 years. My background is finance, and I guess I was tired of being in the office. And slowly but surely, that project of creating an art platform, a street art platform, emerged.
So you call it street art. Some people call it mural. Some people call it graffiti. It has many different names. What do we call it?
I like to call it public art for the simple reason that it's art exposed to the public. And for me, art exposed to the public creates conversation and creates dialogue. Obviously, it could be a sculpture, it could be a mural, it could be a mosaic. And something that is very important as well is that it does not matter so much of the type of artist, in the sense that it's not because a graffiti artist makes a mural or a fine art artist makes a mural that one is better than the other. So by calling it public art, we put everybody or every artist at the same level and with the same level exposure.
When you call it public art, in a way, it means that the artworks are the same as if we would see a piece of art in a gallery. So my question is, what are they saying? What are the messages that are being put across? But one could ask that of any artist. But in particular, public art, street art, seems to have a very specific message. Would you say so?
I would definitely say so. By the essence of any piece that is put in the eyes of the public creates a conversation. So at Bazart or for the festival, we provide guidelines to the artist, because every year it's new artists that come to the festival, and we like to create messages or dialogue that are definitely empowering, educating, positive. And so by choosing a theme every year, so this year being 100% sustainable, so it's a global issue, it touches everybody around the world, but it can be also interpreted locally. How does a community, how does the economy acts on a local level, but how can we have a sustainable world? So we choose those themes by being international, but with local compounds or local aspects to it.
So again, as with any art, there needs to be both the artist and the canvas or the material with which they make their art. In this particular instance, we're looking at walls, we're looking at public buildings. How do you decide which walls can be painted and whose permission do you need to get?
So it's quite a journey and quite a process to find a wall, assign walls, and make sure it all works. If we start by the on the wall side of things, and then we'll speak about the artist side of things. If we start by the walls, yes, you have to walk around and knock on doors and ask people if they want their walls to be painted. Obviously, the first year it was more difficult, but by now, after on the fifth edition, people come forward. They understand that it creates a conversation. You can engage with your neighbors. People are very proud of the wall that has been painted and they pay attention to it. So in a way, it makes the neighborhood much more inclusive, cohesive, like stronger together. And people are proud of the neighborhood, which is important. And they wouldn't want to leave it. The area is more secure and cleaner, which is a beautiful impact. And I guess that's why people more and more come forward and say, please paint my wall as well. On the artist side of things, all artists being different, some artists love working with kids, some artists are slightly more autistic, some artists are scared of heights, some artists work in a very abstract way or in a very realistic way. So we have to interview those artists and understand what they want and what is their artwork so that we can find the right match for them. We never present the sketch ourselves to the homeowner, so the artist has to do that himself or herself, because that's the best way that he can explain, they can interact quickly, and they can, if there's modification or adaptation to put to the artwork, they can, it's a conversation. And obviously you want that conversation to happen, not only because the artist is going to be painting that wall for 10 days, so better have a strong bond between the artist and the homeowner, but also because the homeowner is going to be stuck with that wall for quite a few years. So you need that feel, that connection between the artist and the homeowner.
It's an interesting combination. It's an interesting bond. So the homeowner has to agree, has to approve. But then who owns it? Who owns that piece of art? It's very transient.
So the piece of art is owned by the artist. That's his art form. It's artwork. Unless it transfers it, for example, because we organize the festival, we ask the right of pictures, because we need to communicate about the artist. I guess that's about being an artist platform, is that being able to communicate. The homeowner sadly doesn't own anything, actually, but he's free to repaint it whenever he wants.
Really? Is that how it works? So if it, after a little while, it becomes a bit tatty or a bit faded, he can then go and change it, or he, she can then go and add to it, change it, or even paint over it?
Yeah, so definitely the homeowner could repaint over it at any time. It hasn't happened so far, and we have painted more than 120 walls in Salt River. We have, however, ourselves had to repaint a few walls, like 3 out of 120, just because the humidity was there, they were starting looking faded. And we do regular touch-ups to make sure that the walls stay beautiful and shiny and clean. So
it's kind of sanitized work, I'm feeling. This is very healthy and wholesome, and people are agreeable, and people come and look at it, and it feels wonderful. As you see people walking around, they're very uplifted by it. But, you know, when mural art, or graffiti even, as it was known, first began, it was seen as subversive, it was angry, it was ugly. Just explain how it's transformed itself as an art form.
So if we speak about South Africa just for a moment, but we could extend that talk to the rest of the world. So South Africa, the graffiti was end of apartheid, so end of the 80s, beginning of the 90s, and it was a way to put strong political message, people that were sharing their thoughts, revendicating something, and it was a, let's say, an aggressive way of putting a message out there. What I think by now, and that applies, I can see over the world as well, is that as the world is more peaceful, or as the world is more agreeable to live, people actually take more time to express what they want on the wall. They are more at ease. They don't have to run anywhere. They can actually take the time to paint a message, and it's less aggressive. So I would say it's an evolution of graffiti to mural, as one could say, or letters to artworks, even though some lettering is artwork too. But I see it as an evolution from a more peaceful world by now.
Yes, and it is a global movement. I mean, there are some mural artists who paint all over the world. In fact, they become very famous doing it. Do you see a time when whole cities will be painted? What's your vision?
There are some cities and some townships. Thinking about one in Brazil that is entirely covered with paint. It's quite famous for that. But I do think there will be more and more art in cities because it's more enjoyable. It creates conversation. It creates bonding between people. People can relate. There can be a culture element. There can be a futuristic element. In any case, it creates a conversation. If we were living in spaces of just concrete roads and tall buildings, it would be a bit sad, I think. So bringing color or bringing shapes is very important.
And it brings joy not just to the people who are seeing it, but to the people who are producing it. I spoke to Debongs, who was talking about the fact that he's self-taught. Do you have any criteria about, or you or anybody, can anybody be a mural artist?
So anyone who is an artist, who wants to be an artist, can be a mural artist. I do believe so. When we make the selection, it's an open call to anyone around the world, and they have to share a portfolio with at least one public artwork, whatever that artwork is. So we get to see the interest of the person in being out there in the public. Then the second round of conversation or interviews is about sharing ideas and sketches and concepts. And then we see if the person is really interested or the artist is really interested and how we can develop something that will be of public interest for Salt River and for the festival. And that's how we make that evolution, or that's where we have that conversation with the artist until we arrive to a concept that is ready to be painted.
You know, we live in a commercial world, and I'm just wondering about monetizing this whole thing. Debongs was talking about painting in the townships to have people recognize that art is a profession and that spirits can be uplifted. He was talking about the healing aspect of it. As soon as money comes into things, though, somehow it spoils it. What's your feeling about monetizing mural art?
Well, I think artists need to make a living. So one way or another, money needs to be involved because those artists have families and they need to eat and they need to have a roof. So the festival, there's no monetary aspect in the festival. It's voluntary participation. But we get to know the artist and we get to know what they do, what they like to do, how they work. And that helps us to find them work after the festival. So the festival is basically a get-to-know-the-artist platform so that after we can find a match, a little bit like we spoke about the walls, how we match the wall and the artist, where we match potential jobs with artists. Some artists that are incredibly good with kids and community, they find themselves maybe teaching. And some artists that are extremely accurate and detailed oriented, yes, sometimes they will paint for brands because brands have that level of like accuracy and making a replica of something. So the festival is pure joy and voluntary work, but then yes, everyone needs to make a living one way or another.
So the story of this year's festival is 100% sustainability. People seem to have interpreted that in many very different ways. Tell me about some of the ways that you have found particularly appealing.
By choosing the theme 100% sustainable, I was a little bit scared that too many artists would jump on the environment issue. And maybe because of the pandemic and because of people being in lockdown and socially distanced, the social part and the economic part kind of took the lead. So I find it very beautiful that quite a few artists have painted around the transmission of knowledge, the sharing from the elderly to the youngsters. And for me, that was very beautiful. And the way they have built that story around and saying that knowledge needs to be shared to create a sustainable world, I find it very striking and surprising at the same time.
And just very lastly, on the question of sustainability, I think the festival's been going, I think it's this fifth year now. How durable have some of the original paintings been? Are they still there?
So most of the painting are still there from the first festival. Three have been refurbished, or disappeared and have been painted over. So people can still enjoy the first one and can see the evolution from one festival to another. They can mainly see the different themes we have talked about, or the artists have painted about. The one about education was called Generation Next, and then you see those murals with what would be the future of education. Last year was digitalization, which is the good and the bad of the digital world, and creating that conversation about the digital world. So it's very interesting as you walk through the neighborhood to see that those themes and those murals that have different subject matter painted.
So once the festival is over, and it's only a few days, people can still walk around Salt River and they can see all the paintings. But if they don't live in Cape Town and they'd like to see more, what's your website?
So our website is baz-art.co.za. And the festival website is IPAFEST, so IPAFEST.co.za. We document the website all the time, so all the artworks are there, the map is there, but we will work towards building a digital tour, hopefully 2021.
Very, very lastly, Alex, have you painted a wall?
I have painted a wall because all previous festivals had artists sleeping at my place to provide them with a roof and accommodation during the festival. And when they get bored, they like to paint my back wall. So I have painted with them and they have trained me. They have way more patience than me.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Well, there were many artists leaving their legacy out on the streets when I visited, including one very happy young lady.
So my name is Hanim, also known as Hani B. I'm currently 20 years old and I'm the youngest artist participating in the International Public Art Festival. So my piece is focused on wildlife pollution, specifically marine life. I want to bring awareness to how we as humans affect the ocean, because we all know that it's happening. But because we don't see it every day, it just kind of goes over our head to the back of our minds. We don't really think about it. So I'm hoping my piece will just bring a little bit more awareness to the world, just to show how our mistakes and our faults have to be dealt with by other creatures.
Do you think that mural art, wallism, I'm not sure what you call it, do you think that that in itself is maybe quite sustainable?
I think in a way it is, because there's always new artists. There's always new voices that want to be heard. There's always new talent that needs to be explored and shown. So even if one day in a few years my art fades, there will always be another artist to come in and bring another message, maybe the same message, but from their point of view. There's always someone to come.
And who is your homeowner and is he happy?
Oh, he loves it. Uncle Muhammad, we just met him outside now. He is the homeowner. He owns this house and the house next door. Because he is a Muslim man, we do have some rules when it comes to art, that depicting the human figure is a taboo topic. So he wanted something without human figures. And he loved that I went with the ocean theme, because his sons are very invested in the ocean. One of them actually works in he works with aquariums, and he works with wildlife, he works with sea life. They do rehabilitation for sea life that get caught in traps and stuff. So he was very happy to see what my concept was.
Where did you learn all this?
I studied visual arts for 5 years while I was in high school. I then, during my gap year, I explored some more different techniques and methods. And I was actually asked last year, 2020, to do my first street art. It's also here in Salt River, Kipling Street Food Garden. I did two murals for them. And one of the residents in that area saw my work, and she's actually involved in this festival, and she was like, you have to apply. I love what you did. Please apply. And so I did, and here I am.
So finally, in closing the International Public Art Festival in Cape Town, let's hear it from Hani's homeowner.
My name is Muhammad Hamid. My grandfather owned these two houses. And when he died, my father bought the house up to the estate, both houses. And then after that, I bought the house from my father, which is next door. And my mother passed away 2 years ago. So I bought this side out of the estate. These two houses was the third house in the street that many years ago. It was about 1845, something like that.
And how do you feel about having this mural work on your wall?
Well, I don't say I didn't like it. I don't mind, but I like either environment or the sea or flowers because my children are sports orientated. They're lifesavers and they work for NSRI and they've been swimming all over the country since small. So it was ideal of her to sort of choose the whale and the sea.
And what's your feeling about mural art all over Salt River? Do you like it?
Yes, it's fine. I like it, yes. But the only thing is that some of the figures, it doesn't suit the area. You know, it also brings the area also down. If it's nice, like environment, or maybe like the one where the children stand on the books to get to the bookshelf, that is fine. But if you have things like we find figures or that, it becomes almost like you find that it's like a slum area. And it also, devalue the property also.
But I think that the mural that's being done here will definitely raise the value of your...
It's very nice, yeah.
You've been so inspired, you're painting the walls yourself.
Yes, I like painting. That's why I start early, because you have to keep up with the times. If you leave it like that, then you can find that you're going to get spoiled. So it's best after every 4 or 5 years to paint. So that's why my intention was to paint it. But as I've seen that they're doing, I took advantage of the scaffolding because I can't reach on top. So that's why I took advantage of painting it. It's going to be purple, two different colors. That's why I'm painting the one color. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to paint the other color to blend it. Thank you, ma'am.